And that's right. It is a Tuesday, but this is Sports Club called Outside the Bubble. I'm your host, Jeremy the Impact York. Thank you for joining us for an amazing episode of Sports Club, where thanks to our amazing sponsors, partners, and Impact Media in general, that allow me to come on each and every week and talk to you about all things sports, some things not. Hopefully Tuesdays will be the new home of Sports Club. That is something I am petitioning for, and you guys will figure out why here shortly. Now, tons of football stuff to get into. There is some NASCAR, some UFC, another announcement of another sport that is calling it a pause. But we will get into all that shortly. As I said, today's episode is called Outside the Bubble because right now it feels like a lot of us are in the bubble, or a lot of people are in the bubble, and hopefully I am your escape. You are probably tuning into this show for hopefully any number of reasons, one of which maybe you find me entertaining, which thank you. Stock evaluations will be available on the way out the door. Maybe you like hearing about sports and other things going on. Maybe you need a distraction, or maybe you thought this was a different podcast. You clicked on it anyway, so welcome. Hopefully you stick around because there are some fun things we're going to get into. We really are. And hopefully you guys get into it. And, you know, if not, it is what it is. But, quick programming note, of course, is that the reason why this is on Tuesday is because this Thursday we are debuting a new show. You guys, we asked, you guys spoke, you guys responded, so we're going to do it. Sports Club is going to stay the way it was. Starting on Thursday, we have a brand new show debuting. It is all about pro wrestling. It is my takes on the things going on in the world of pro wrestling because that is one of the few things that continues to play on at the moment. And so I will get on. We will talk different things here and there. Go a little behind the curtain, as I do have some experience in the wrestling world, more with putting on the show than actually being the star of the show. But you know, maybe we can get a couple of my friends, a couple of people I've met along the way, to join us here and there. I don't know. We'll get into that. But the name of that show is going to be Strong Style, and like I said, it is going to be debuting this Thursday. Hopefully, if there are no snags, and if you want to listen to my take on pro wrestling, or just, you know, maybe you'll find out, because we're not just talking WWE with that. We're talking Impact Wrestling, talking AEW, we're talking NXT, we're talking New Japan, WOW, any of the ones we can get a hold of. Ring of Honor, we're going to talk all of them. We'll talk about some of the big stars, some of the things I liked, some things I didn't like. Some cool segments. We're going to get into that, right? We're going to get into that. But this is Sports Club. This is Sports Club, where we are going to talk a lot of football in just a short minute. I want to get all the other stuff out of the way first. Now, Aussie football, which was one of the few sports that were still going, has officially halted play. I believe they played Saturday, and then as of Sunday, they had completely called it. You know, kind of things happen. That's fine. But they finally deemed that, I guess, the numbers and results in the area are to where they don't want to risk the athletes and other people involved, crews and things like that. So they have decided to halt play. Totally cool to do that. Thanks for the distraction up until now. But now, time to move on. Dana White, who is kind of the modern day, I don't know, Dana, I'm going to give you a big compliment here. I'm going to say you are the modern day mix of Vince McMahon and Mark Cuban. Hopefully you take that as a compliment, because that is meant as a big compliment. I am huge fans of both of those guys. Massive, massive amounts of respect for those guys. But the reason I say that, he announced the UFC is still going to hold events, possibly empty arena. UFC 249, they're searching for a different venue, but he still wants to go, go on with the show. And UFC and WWE, especially UFC, the way it is structured with the sponsorship and advertising and things like that, it's nice when the crowds show up, but it is one of the few businesses. That's why WWE can continue too, and some of these wrestling organizations, they are set up. They are set up to still succeed with all of this. They can do these empty arena. I mean, the ones in Brazil, I was able to watch the prelims of those. I mean, I can't lie. The fact that I know that obviously with WWE coming up and WrestleMania is going to be 2 nights and that kind of thing. We'll talk more about that. I already mentioned that before last week, but the more we talk about that with Thursday's show, that is what it is. But UFC, they have a similar deal where you can watch the pay-per-views and the other things if you subscribe, and you can watch all the other content that they have. I'm considering it. I'm kind of getting back into UFC. There are some fun people that I enjoy interacting with. There's a handful of them that follow me, and I follow them back on Twitter and Instagram. But the fact that the UFC is still trying to hold events, hey, I'm all for it. Dana, I don't know what I could possibly do. If you want to come on here and talk about it, I would welcome that, obviously. But if there's any way that I can help you continue to put on the great product of the UFC, because I didn't stop watching because I had fallen out or nothing like that. I wouldn't deter it away. I got busy doing other things. But yeah, the UFC is still gonna hold events, and I'm all behind it, all behind it. So Dana, you have me. You got it. You got the chest pump there. Let me know what I can do. A little bit of racing news. There was a NASCAR race over the weekend. It was on Sunday. It shocked my mom. My mom is a diehard NASCAR fan, short for fanatic, and usually doesn't miss a race. So when I texted her a couple laps in to say, "Hey, you watching the race?" She goes, "What are you talking about? Are they replaying one?" I said, "No. Actually, a lot of the NASCAR guys, including Dale Jr., it was nice to see him back in this, were at home in their rigs doing online racing. Basically, they were all doing one. They ran the Homestead race. They ran 100 laps. I thought it was absolutely fantastic. In the end, what was really cool about it to me is that they would go to like Jimmy Johnson and Clint Bowyer and Alex Bowman. And they were showing through their Twitch channels and other things, they were showing their home setups and them racing while they were there. They were able to tap in, and like Jeff Gordon was messing with Jimmy Johnson, and all the announcers were having fun with it. And getting to see their home setups. Like Clint Bowyer was pretty funny. He just said he was trying not to wreck as many times as he kept doing. But in the end, Denny Hamlin edged Dale Jr. He kind of bumped him a little bit, but that's okay, Denny. You remember you're one of my drivers. He edged Dale Jr. for the Homestead win, and it's closer to normal. I talked to a lot of NASCAR fans, and some they're in three categories. Some of them were like that, didn't watch it at all. Then there was another group that was like, I kind of tried to get into it. It was hard because I was watching kind of a video game. And then the other group of people were like, it was great to see real racers racing again. So, hopefully you can get into it. I think they're going to try to do a couple more of these. I think the Texas race would have been next. They're trying to do that. They get the sponsorships going. It's a cool thing that they put on cable or whatever you have. And we learned something in this. We learned that not only is NASCAR not giving up, which we knew they weren't. Jimmy Johnson, in one of the times that Jeff and was it Kevin Hamlin? I forgot. Kevin Hammond, maybe. The other announcer with Jeff Gordon. So they go into the peak at Jimmy Johnson, and instead of being seated like he's in a car, Jeff actually asked Jimmy, "Hey, why are your legs a little more elevated than your butt, basically? Kind of more like you're almost laying down to a point." To which Jimmy said, "This is Jimmy Johnson's last year, keep in mind, in NASCAR." He says, "Well, it's a little more of an indie setup, kind of familiarizing myself with that setup on top of, that F1, that kind of thing could be in my future, so I'm trying to get a handle on it." That sent off alarms in my head and every kind of thing to say. Jimmie Johnson is going to not only race after he leaves NASCAR, but he's more than likely going to try to run the Indy 500. He's going to try to run some of the bigger races that he always wanted to run. So, Jimmie Johnson fans, including my mom, there is going to be life after NASCAR for Jimmy, and it's going to be fun to keep up with him. But now it is time to get into the NFL. The NFL has provided the ultimate distraction from all the craziness that is going on with the virus and all the other things going on. A lot of people are not gonna say stuck at home, but a lot of people are working from home. They're trying to lessen the commute. As someone whose day gig takes me up and down the highways a lot, there is a lot less people. There's probably half as many people out right now, and that could change over time. I do still think we are 2 to 2.5 weeks away from starting to get back to normal a little bit. It's still going to take us a while to recover. That's fine, but I do feel like I don't want to say we're over the hump, but we're taking measures to make it as safe as possible. But even as Mark Cuban said, Mark Cuban, I heard. He was on the Dan Patrick Show. I listened to him early this morning. And he said that by all means, the NFL should continue to be the distraction, continue business as normal as much as they can. I know the NFL has made the statement that teams, or the Player Association, I believe, and teams and players have all got together and said, hey, in order to get physicals and to do things like that, if you want to get a third-party person, somebody closer to you, without having to get a team doctor, without having to get your own doctor, to be safe about it, you can get third-party physicals. As that way, you can sign with teams. That way, trades could happen. I guess prospects could be doing the same thing. If you're Tua Tagovailoa, you probably want to find a third-party guy to say, "Hey, look, I check out," or "Hey, this is what's going on." But that is something that they have gotten into, and it's the NFL providing the ultimate distraction as they always do, and it's other ones too. UFC, it's WWE, it's all the wrestling, it's NASCAR, it's everybody doing what they can. The NHL and the NBA are trying to come up with a plan. They have plans, but they haven't got to the part where they need to enact them yet. We found out that the Olympics are going to be pushed back a year. That's fine. I don't have a problem with that. Ryan Lochte has actually made a statement saying there's plenty of unfinished business for him, so he is going to gear up for 2021. But once again, the NFL is coming to the rescue. Some things that have happened. Let's as of now, the teams slash owners, all of them are donating. This is just the ones I've heard about that are donating to causes. Green Bay has donated. Green Bay Packers have donated $1.5 million to basically relief efforts and things like that. Baltimore owner Steve Bisciotti has donated $1 million and providing aid and things like that. Cleveland owners D and Jimmy Haslam have done $1.5 million. Shad Khan come out today and he said he's pledging $1 million to help with the virus efforts and things like that. You know, it's these guys. Sure, they're billionaires. That's not why they're doing this. They're not doing this for write-ups. They're not doing this for write-offs or anything like that. They're doing this to help their communities because they also realize the communities are the ones who support their teams, support their businesses. Because these guys don't just own a team and that's it. No, they own multiple things. A lot of them own places around the area, other things in the surrounding area. So they want you to continue to support them. They will support you. It's one big cycle. It's a big cycle, and it seems to work out. But that is super. That's the ones I have heard of up to this point. Let's see. Where to start? Well, we just start at the top. Arizona signed Brett Hundley as a backup quarterback for, I guess, Kyler Murray. I like it. I think Cliff Kingsbury can do a lot of good things to Brett Hundley. Brett Hundley has been in Green Bay under Aaron Rodgers. He has been there with Mike McCarthy. And I always thought the kid could be pretty good. Maybe as a backup role over there, in case I hope nothing happens to Kyler Murray. He is one of my sleepers right now in fantasy world, if and when we get to that. I'm going to go ahead and say when we get to that. But yeah, Arizona signing Brett Hundley, I like this move. I like it. I don't love it yet, but I want to see what happens. I think Brett Hundley, under the guidance of somebody, he's got his foundation built out of the Green Bay years. Now when he goes out here to Cliff Kingsbury and works with Kyler Murray, I think he's going to develop more of his game. He's going to be fun. He's going to be fun because I've always thought Brett Hundley to be a slightly lesser Teddy Bridgewater as far as how he plays. So we will see what Arizona can do with him. Brian Hoyer is not only he get cut by the Colts, he is returning to New England. And this is going to bring me to something I wrote down even today, as we had another deal that I will talk about in a minute, just come across the board. Colin Cowherd mentioned this, and so it's an interesting theory. Could be some legs to it. And that is Brian Hoyer gets cut by the Colts. He gets re-signed basically by the Patriots, where it'll be he was told he will have a chance to start. So if you are Brian Hoyer or you are Jared Stidham, you're going to be competing for the job, according to this, because I feel like Hoyer wouldn't have signed if he didn't think he'd have a chance, because he could have signed a lot of other places. But what Colin says is he thinks the Patriots, are tanking for Trevor Lawrence. And they're going to make it look good. They're going to lose 24 to 20 because their offense is going to have some limitations. They've lost some key players, some key linemen, and things like that. But he feels like the Patriots, they're not going to try to lose on purpose. But then what the Patriots are doing, they're going to get rid of a couple assets here and there. They're going to build up draft capital, things like that. But that they are looking for Trevor Lawrence next year. So you see what you have in Stidham. In Stidham, you bring in Brian Hoyer, who also knows the system a little bit. So it's like bringing in Ryan Fitzpatrick, except for it's not Ryan Fitzpatrick who somehow is better than the cultural shift of tanking. Somebody always Fitzpatrick always tries to win everything, and I have no problem with that. But to say that they have limited weapons, they were not able to land Emmanuel Sanders. They feel like if they would have got Emmanuel Sanders, that maybe Tom Brady could have potentially re-signed. I think he was as good as gone. But to say that they are tanking for Trevor Lawrence, or I'll be honest, there's kind of been some talk that Justin Fields, with another solid year, could be right there sniffing around the number one pick as well. If you're a UGA fan, I know how you feel about that because you decided to let Jacob Eason go. You decided to let, and he went somewhere, what, Eastern Washington and did pretty well. Justin Fields went to Ohio State and did pretty well. And Jake Fromm did okay. I will say my personal opinion is I believe that as far as a raw prospect, Eason is better. I think Fields is actually the better of the three overall. Fromm is still really good. Look, you had three B plus to A minus stars, and you can't keep them all, so the other two did move as they should. But look out for Justin Fields, man. Justin Fields is going to be a hot commodity. He's going to give Trevor a run for his money. We're going to have to see what happens. Maybe the Patriots go after that, or maybe the Patriots are fooling us all, as they typically do, and they're going to win 9 or 10 games with this current setup. We're going to see. This year, we're going to absolutely see, was it Brady, or was it more Brady, or was it more Belichick? Honestly, I think Belichick has a great system, and Brady makes the system even better. So we're going to find out if it was 60-40, it was 50-50, whatever it was. We're going to find out this year. The Falcons, I got to give the Falcons credit. They went out and got an offensive lineman, Justin McCray. I thought that was a good pickup. I actually think it was a better pickup than the one I'm about to say, but this is intriguing. The Falcons add Laquon Treadwell, the wide receiver. If they start the 11 on offense that is currently on paper, they will have 11 first-round picks starting on offense. First time I think that's ever happened, probably the last time that'll ever happen. Or not the last time per se, but everybody on their team was a first-round pick at some point on the starting offense. Not sure if that's good or bad, but we'll see how it goes. But I like the Laquon Treadwell. I'm a little intrigued by that, but the Justin McCray, I think you're going to like that guy. I think he's going to be a solid person on the offensive line, and that's where you need to really put some things in, because Gurley's good, but he can be great with a good line. Brian Hill's good, but he's great with a good line. Matt Ryan can't throw from his back. For one, the play would be dead. Falcons fans, I want to see some other things that go on. Obviously, it's going to be limited off-season stuff. OTAs, I don't think are going to happen. I think we're going to go straight into training camp and then into the season. We will see what happens from there. But, at the moment, I feel slightly better about the Falcons than I do about my Cowboys. So there's that. Because you guys know, I'm a Cowboys fan. And I usually try to say the truth about things. Right now, it would be 55-45 Falcons to Cowboys as far as who might do better. We'll see. We'll see what happens. Before I forget about it, let me get through the thing that just dropped. Tyler Eifert agreed to a 2-year deal with the Jaguars. Tyler Eifert is somebody that I wanted my Cowboys to sign a couple years ago when Cincinnati did. And B, I wanted the Falcons to sign him when the Cowboys didn't because I think Tyler Eifert is a solid tight end. He signed to the Jaguars. So I guess Gardner Minshew is going to be throwing to him, and that it could be interesting. That could be a good combo. Maybe it blows up. I don't know, but I think Tyler Eifert, he's trying to prove that the injuries were kind of fluky things. They're not nagging things, and like I said, I like the kid. But good on the Jaguars. Good on the Jaguars for that. I talked about my Cowboys. I know my good buddy Akil. It's going to be listening to this too. Akil, I feel you, man. I feel you. Longtime Dallas offensive lineman, great Pro Bowler, great All-Pro center, Travis Frederick is retiring. He's 29 years old. It's not concussions like a lot of early ones have been. He has an autoimmune disease, with a Guillaume or Guillaume, and it's wreaked havoc on him a lot, that has made it very difficult for him to play football. And Travis, you're always welcome on this show. Not because you're a cat, not just because you're a cowboy. You're just a great guy. I've heard you a lot with some of friends of the show, 105.3 in Dallas, with Sean and RJ and all those guys. You're fantastic. You're a great player. You're a fantastic human. I wish you all the best. But yeah, Travis Frederick, another guy retiring before 30. This game gets to you. But that may affect the way they draft. We'll have to see. The New York Giants signed Deion Lewis. I like Deion Lewis. He's a solid running back. He gets you quality yards. He had some good times with Tennessee and with New England. I think the Giants are kind of be in a weird spot. They got a brand new coach. They got a real young quarterback. We'll see if that flows or if they go elsewhere after that. Because I mean, this is not this coach's quarterback. So we'll see if he becomes that or if he decides to go get his guy later. But Deion Lewis in New York as a backup for Saquon, I think that's a solid pickup. That gives a chance for Saquon Barkley to take a break occasionally and Deion Lewis pick up the slack. I very much think that's really good. That's a really good pickup. The Rams released a new logo. They kind of released a four-part logo. It is a throwback to like their 1948 version or something like that, but let's just keep this in mind. There's a lot of them that we see. We see these logos. Oh, those are terrible. Those are atrocious. Those are wretched. Those are garbage. And then they grow on you. And 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 then before you know it, you kind of like them. And then before you kind of like them, you really like them. And then before you know it, you're buying jerseys. You're buying hats. Rams fans, just deal with it. All right. A lot of my friends know that the cycle of the way I do with bands or musicians a lot of times, I start by making fun of them. I start by saying how bad they are, and it usually ends up with me being big time fans of them. That's kind of where this is now. You think it's bad to start with? It may not be bad to start with. It's actually not bad. I don't know what you guys said, what some of the backlash is. I mean, you're entitled to your opinion, sure, but it's an okay logo. It's fine. It encourages you to buy new merch or wear the old merch. Whatever you want to do. But the new Rams logo is out. The Chargers unveiled one too. I haven't seen it yet, but the Rams logo, I kind of like it. I kind of like it already. Let's see. Part of the New England thing I didn't mention was they released leading scorer all time, Steven Gostkowski. The kicker, he will land somewhere in the league because he is a fantastic kicker. But this helped Colin's theory that he thought maybe they were tanking. Okay, I guess we shall see. Super kicker, like I said, he will land somewhere in the league because people always need kickers, and they're smart enough to upgrade when they need to. Let's see. Washington traded for Kyle Allen. That would be Ron Rivera. I don't know what he likes about Kyle Allen. A friend of mine, when he first told me about this news, I joked with him and said, well, apparently Ron Rivera is trying to collect mediocre talent at quarterback in Washington. If Alex Smith could play, I would let him. If not, I would let him mentor people because Alex Smith, he is not only a great quarterback, a very smart quarterback. Not only does he have all the experience, he has been coached by Urban Meyer in college at Utah. He has been coached by Andy Reid in Kansas City. He has been coached by Jim Harbaugh in San Francisco. The guy has all the experience and all the tools. He's either going to be a fantastic coach. I wish he could come back and play. I don't know if he's going to do that. But if I'm Washington, I encourage him to try to help out with all these kinds of things. And maybe Rivera knows something about Kyle Allen. We don't. Between him and Haskins, I don't know what's going to go on. Let's see. That leads me to. See, I got two big topics. Let's get the small ones out of the way. Kansas City signs former St. Louis Battle Hawk quarterback Jordan Te'amu. This should scare the crap out of everybody. Andy Reid was one of the first on Patrick Mahomes, and he was able to snag him out of the draft. And we look at what he's blown up into under Reid's tutelage on top of his own actual talent. The fact that he cherry picks Jordan Te'amu as a potential backup, look out. He sees something in this kid. Maybe he's a mini Mahomes. I don't know. But I would agree that Jordan Te'amu was probably the second or third best quarterback in the XFL. He had a fantastic mini season, the four or five games they played. Look out. The Chiefs, next time Mahomes goes down, if it's Jordan Te'amu coming in, they may not miss a beat. And there was another XFL quarterback signed. Houston Roughnecks quarterback PJ Walker was signed by the Carolina Panthers, which ultimately allowed Kyle Allen to be shipped out of town. They have released Cam Newton earlier today, Carolina has. So we're going to get into Cam in a minute. So two XFL guys get a lot of other XFL sign, guys have got signed. Defensive backs, some other people, running backs, I think, have got signed, some linemen, various things like that. But let's see, we talked about Carolina. That leads me to my two bigger topics. Let's go ahead and go to this one. Seeing what the Denver Broncos have done in the offseason, people they've added, the people they've gotten rid of, different things they've done here and there. I think Denver is that team that is going to be sneaky good this year. Like, sneaky good could win 8, 9, 10 games. They were able to retain some of their bigger stars. They really like the quarterback tandem they have. They feel like they may have found the guy they want to go with. They have added pieces here and there. AJ Bouye, some of these other moves they've made. Man, watch out. John Elway may be on something here. Denver may sneak up there and snag a wild card from somebody. And that'd be great. That would be just exceptional. The Denver Broncos, watch out for them. They may be right there. If you're the Chiefs, if you're the Chargers, okay, who else over there? Oakland. I mean, you got to look out for Denver. Denver's not Drew Lock, I believe, is the quarterback they're going to go with. Maybe Drew Lock is the guy. You know? Maybe he's the guy. That leads me to my last topic. The one I forgot from last week. That's okay. It's still relevant now. So, Tom Brady goes to Tampa. We know that. Ryan Griffin, I believe, is his backup, which means Jameis Winston officially done with the Buccaneers. I can't remember if he's officially released or his contract ran out, whatever it is. He's officially done there. We just talked about Carolina. Last year it was Kyle Allen and Cam Newton. Well, they officially released Cam Newton today. They traded Kyle Allen. They are going to go with PJ Walker and Teddy Bridgewater. Completely different direction. We know where Kyle Allen went. He went to Washington, as I said, and that leaves Cam Newton. Cam Newton, who needs to get a physical just as soon as he can, because that will show how ready he is to compete. They're both probably going to be a backup. A lot of people say, well, why wouldn't, you got to add Andy Dalton into this too. He is technically still a member of Cincinnati, but he's kind of in limbo. He's pretty much in the cloud at this point for all you computer tech savvy people. Yeah, Andy Dalton is in the cloud because we don't know whether it's coming or going. Let's just talk about places that these three could be a good fit, right? Once again, Akil, I don't know if I want to throw this out there or not. Jameis Winston to back up Dak Prescott in case that thing falls apart, you know? Okay. In Dallas. I've heard that. I've heard New England. I don't see New England. They are going to go with Stidham and Hoyer. I don't see any. I don't see anything outside of that. Other places for Jameis. A lot of people say to back up Big Ben in Pittsburgh. Okay. So if Big Ben goes down with another injury, or if he wants to just hang out for a year or so, he could potentially take it over from there. I think Jameis could be. Jameis could be a good fit there. Maybe if they could knock down some of the turnovers and wild throws, but Big Ben's known for a couple of those too. Then throw 30 in a year. But that's not a bad fit. I could see that. The way I would rank it is I would say Pittsburgh, Dallas. God, I don't know the third team. Cam Newton is gonna have to pull a Ryan Tannehill. He's gonna have to realize that he's gonna have to be a backup and can potentially compete for his job. And I hope Cam can get over that. And Cam's been the starter pretty much his entire life, so we will have to see how that goes. Places Cam could go. A lot of people think Jacksonville. I can see that. Some people think, scanning all the teams. I don't think he would back up Big Ben. I can't lie. I wouldn't mind him in Dallas. Nobody's saying Dallas. If he backed up Dak Prescott, not only could he mentor him, but if something happened or if Dak decided not to sign the contract, then okay, well, I'll go with Cam Newton. Honestly, there is a lot of teams that should consider it. The Rams, Chargers. I know the Chargers say they want to go with Tyrod Taylor and they're going to draft somebody. Okay. It's got to be somebody that he's going to be the definite backup. You can't say like Seattle, although Seattle could be the surprise front runner, I guess, in Cam. I wouldn't see that. Houston maybe, but I feel like Cam wants to stay in the Southeast. He's from this area, so We'll see what happens there. And then Andy Dalton. Andy Dalton is, like I said, the one who's in the cloud. If you look up right now, you'll probably see him. If you ever watched the old Willy Wonka with Gene Wilder, you kind of understand what I'm saying about the chocolate bar in space. That's kind of Andy Dalton. We know they're probably going to take a quarterback in the draft. Andy Dalton, I believe, is still part of the roster. They haven't traded him. They haven't released him. So he's just kind of there. Okay. Where could Dalton land? A lot of people think New England. I think that's gone now. He's going to probably be the backup somewhere. Where could he be the backup? I don't know. He'd be a solid backup wherever he goes. Chance to compete for the starting job, or if there's an injury, he could step in. Andy Dalton has always been a solid player in this league. He's been on a crappy team, so his numbers aren't what they should be. And that's not necessarily his fault, but sometimes you get dealt a bad hand. What can you do? But that's all I have for you today. That's all I have for you. It's a solid show. There's always going to be a lot to talk about. We will do our best to scour the globe and find new things. I could have talked about death diving, could have talked about marble racing, could have talked about cup sacking, but stuck to the basics today. This has been Sports Club Outside the Bubble. Remember, Strong Style. It's going to be on Thursday. It's going to be all about pro wrestling and the like. I am Jeremy the Impact Gordon. We will see you guys next week. Deuces, gooses. Make a bag, get up. Make a bag, get up. Hey, big girl. Make a bag, get up. Make a bag, get up. Hey, big girl. Make a bag, get up. Make a bag, get up. Hey, big girl. Make a bag, get up. Make a bag, get up. Get up. Got them shaking they boobies like Congos, man. I'm shaking the city like quakes. The haters blue in the face like Gonzo, cause I'm breaking the cake, so let's bake. I'm taking the game's mine. Y'all witness the change, it's my time. Yeah, I'm new to the game, but y'all might wanna say you whack raps, daylight saving time. I can dance, homie, I don't two-step. Y'all looking at something like a true player. A girl told me that a man that could dance might could possibly get down with the tool in his pants. Now I'ma ladies, let me see it vibrate. And when it's over, you ain't gon' need your bow. Cause I'm a pro, make you bend your back low, then the pound it real fast, just like the percolator. Wobble, baby, wobble, baby, wobble, baby, wobble, yeah. Wobble, baby, wobble, baby, wobble, baby, wobble, yeah. Wobble, baby, wobble, baby, wobble, baby.